We seem to have a lot of news happening here around our world and around our church and things like that, and I know in our family. But how many people like to hear good news? Some people didn't raise your hand. I don't know what's wrong with you, but we all like to hear good news, don't we? And you know, one of the things about that, about sharing good news, I mean, we have all this social media and technology today, and people love sharing good news over that kind of stuff, don't they? I mean, it's gone to new heights of sharing good news and announcements and things like that. And one of the interesting things that people are sharing today that I know, I mean, I'm old, but I don't think I'm that old, but we never did this, is people love sharing like news, even like when a couple's going to have a baby, they do this gender reveal. Have you seen this? And they reveal, you know, it's going to be a boy or a girl and all these things. And it seems like, you know, people see it and they want to outdo each other, you know, and the creativity and complexity and all these things. And it's just got to get bigger and better. And let's share this good news in a better way. And you know what? When it's done really well and when it works, it's really cool. But when it fails, well, you know.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Here we go.
That's my favorite. You see, sometimes sharing good news goes wrong, doesn't it? I'm kind of glad we didn't do that back when we were having kids, because that probably would have gone real wrong with us. But no, but good news is great to share, isn't it? But it's crucial and important to make sure we share it well. And with this in mind this morning, we're going to pick up the story of Joseph. We've been in Genesis looking at the story of Joseph, and today we're in the middle of chapter 45. So if you want to turn to chapter 45 of Genesis, we're going to continue his story and look at some good news. Actually, where we left off on Easter Sunday with the story of Joseph. Joseph, this 11th of 12 sons of Jacob, also known as Israel. We left off with him revealing himself to his brothers, revealing his identity to his brothers in Egypt. You see, years before, these brothers had betrayed Joseph and sold him into slavery, considering him dead because of this famine that was in their homeland and all through the world. They went to Egypt to buy food because they heard it was there, and they had to go see this Egyptian ruler who just so happened to be Joseph. And in revealing his identity to his brothers, Joseph, he didn't seek revenge, did he? As we looked at a couple weeks ago. Rather, he noted, God has placed me here to bring salvation to my family, to save his brothers and his family and the legacy, the promise that God had given. That's good news, isn't it? They were saved from death and they were invited to dwell with him in the best region of Egypt. So this is where we pick up this morning, as this good news we just saw gets even better. So we're in verse 16. Let's kind of read through the rest of the chapter, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. So again, Joseph had just told his identity to his brothers and told him it's for salvation, everything. Verse 16, when the report was heard in Pharaoh's house, Joseph's brothers have come, it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this. load your beasts and go back to the land of Canaan, your homeland, and take your father and your households and come to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. And you, Joseph, are commanded to say, do this, take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Have no concern for your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Verse 21, the sons of Israel, also known as Jacob, did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. And then to each and all of them he gave a change of clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 changes of clothes. Remember, Benjamin is his brother through the same mom, through Rachel. To his father he sent as follows, 10 donkeys loaded with good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and provision for his father on the journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they departed, he said to them, do not quarrel on the way. So they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. And he said to them, Joseph is still alive, and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart became numb, for he did not believe them. But when they told him of all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Isn't this awesome? I mean, this is quite a turnaround, isn't it, from what we've been talking about with Joseph over this series. I mean, it was just a few chapters ago that we saw Joseph is in prison, right? He was wrongly accused of a crime he didn't commit, and then he's forgotten down in prison, and he's just there forgotten for over 2 years with little hope. But then God blesses him, and he makes him ruler of Egypt. Now it's his brothers that are suffering, right? They're facing starvation because of this family and their famine, and they're kind of hopeless, and then they come to Egypt and they end up fearing for their lives because of this ruler. And they're trying to impress this guy who doesn't seem very impressed. And when they come to him a second time, they have to bring Benjamin. And now they're facing the very real possibility that Benjamin, their youngest brother, the last link to Rachel, the most beloved wife of their dad, might be made a slave and kept in Egypt. And things looked really bleak. And they were looking really bad. But then chapter 45 comes, and things flip in an instant as Joseph, this ruler, turns out to be Joseph. And while at the very moment it was a little more terrifying because this is Joseph and what have we done to him, but instead he offers salvation. Salvation from the famine, he offers safety, and he offers a place to dwell. You know, this is much like we experience when we come to Jesus, isn't it? We've wronged God, sinned against him, we deserve death. Things look hopeless. You know, we're doomed, maybe despairing or hopeless. And when we come to Jesus and see all that he's done for us, we find more than just hope. We find one who loves us even at our worst. Paul says in Romans, when we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. In fact, we find in Jesus one who lived the perfect life we could never live, who paid the penalty for sin and death that we were supposed to pay, and then rose from the dead to give us life right now and forever with him as a gift, just for trusting in him. You know, Paul sums up this kind of transformation, this getting flipped on its flipped 180 degrees in an instant. He sums this up in 2 Corinthians when he says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There's a new normal because Jesus changes everything. This is our good news. And as we start to look at the good news of these brothers, we think of our good news. And what we see with the brothers and with us is that good news is worth sharing. And as we're going to look a little closer into this passage this morning, what we discover is actually a blueprint for how we can effectively share the good news of Jesus right where we are, as we see how the brothers were to share their story. So let's dive in, okay? So you should have it open, and we're going to look at, be bouncing around in chapter 45 to look at what's really happening here and how God's word instructs us. Anyway, so Joseph's revealing himself, right? The beginning of chapter 45, and he says, I'm your brother who you sold into slavery and all these things. But don't worry, God sent me here to save you. So come and dwell. And while he's saying this, people are listening. I imagine his servants in the other room, and they're overhearing all of this. Because remember, Joseph had sent them out. So what do? They go tell Pharaoh. Guess what? Joseph's brothers are here. Do you know his past? Wow. And it says Pharaoh rejoices. It pleased him. In fact, Pharaoh tells Joseph, here's what I want you to do. I want you to command them. I want you to tell them something. I want you to send your brothers home and tell them to bring back their dad and all their family. Actually, verse 19, look at verse 19. He says, take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones. Now, wagons were pretty valuable back then. So for him to give them this, it's huge. And he says, for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come. And then verse 20, have no concern for your goods. Don't worry about anything. For the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Isn't that awesome? That's like somebody inviting you on a trip and said, don't bring a suitcase. I'm going to provide everything you need. Wow, that's pretty nice. But what we see in this is that effectively sharing the good news, it begins with a charge that sends us out into our world. This is what begins with the brothers. When they hear the good news, they're charged, right? They're sent out. Go back home. Go to your loved ones. Tell them what happened and bring them to me. Sounds pretty familiar, isn't it? You see, Jesus calls us to share the good news of salvation through him. And as the brothers are sent home to their loved ones, we're sent. Jesus sends us out into our world, to those we know, to our family, maybe to school, to your friends or your neighbors, at work, to your coworkers. We're sent to those that we know who need salvation. Did you know we're sent? And as we're sent, Jesus just doesn't push us out the door and says, good luck with that. No, as we're sent to share this good news in Jesus, God gifts us. He gives us what we need so we can better rely on him in reaching our world. We see this with the brothers, right? Not only are they given provisions, I mean, that's good to have as provisions, but then it says Joseph gives them new clothes. Now, we could do a whole message on what it means when God clothes us new, but we're not going to go there. But he gives them new clothes to wear, and he gives them money and gifts that they can go and not have to worry about anything, and they're free to share. And in that same way, you know, God equips us to share his good news to our world, right where we are, by giving us his spirit, giving us his presence. His spirit who guides us and who directs us and empowers us to share the good news. In fact, Jesus in the beginning of Acts says this to his followers as he's sending them out into their world. He says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And only then will you be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the other ends of the earth. Or he's saying, as you'll be my witnesses starting right where you are, and you continue to follow me. And with this charge, we are ready to venture out of our comfort zone and into our world, sharing the best news in Jesus. So, we see this again in this passage and with the brothers. So as these brothers venture out, and as they're sent out to share from Egypt, to share the good news with those they love, Joseph tells them something before you go. And it seems odd, but it's very important. He tells them in verse 24, did you catch that? As they departed, he said to them, do not quarrel along the way. Everything you have, don't quarrel. Don't get into fight with each other. You see, it's been 22 years since Joseph lived with his brothers, yet he still knows them like the back of his hand. Because he knows exactly what his brothers are like. You know what they're going to do? If they have time on their hands, they're going to start blaming each other. They're going to say, not me, it wasn't me who did this. You know, this is all your fault. How many people love getting blamed? Chris loves getting blamed. So any problem you have, blame Chris. But besides Chris, we don't like being blamed. So we'll pass the buck. And he says, so Joseph says, you know what? As you go, you're going to have a lot of time on your hands. It's a long journey. Don't quarrel. Don't fight. Don't complain along the way. I mean, can you imagine what they might talk about if they had time on their own and Joseph hadn't said this? Can you imagine Reuben sitting there going, you know, guys, we wouldn't have gone through any of this because I wanted to save him. When you guys threw him down the pit, I was going to sneak back and get him. And you guys, I was the one who would have saved us, not Joseph. I would have had this. Or you have the other ones starting to blame Benjamin. You know, Benjamin, we wouldn't have had to go through all this worry if you hadn't had that silver cup in your bag. That cost us a lot of worry. We shouldn't have. Young kids, they always cause trouble. Benjamin. Or maybe you have Simeon going, you know, guys, I was left to rot in prison while you guys went back home. And you were supposed to come right back. And you didn't come right back. And I sat there. What is wrong with you guys? Could you imagine them doing this? So the whole way back, they're sitting there nipping each other. If you have a sibling, you know what this looks like, right? So Joseph tells them, no, don't quarrel. Because all of this arguing, he knew, all this arguing, it would consume them. It would consume their time. And worst of all, it would take their minds off what mattered most, which is God's faithfulness in saving them through Joseph. So instead of quarreling, so the brothers aren't to quarrel. So as I read this, I tried to imagine what was going on this trip. I mean, this trip could have taken a month or more to go back up to the land of Canaan. So they're not quarreling. So now they're left to just talk about what happened, right? So can you imagine some of the conversation? Maybe one goes, wow, that was weird. I mean, I thought we were dead men. And yet it turned out pretty good. Hey, that was neat. Another one says, man, you know that ruler, when he revealed that he was Joseph, I thought we were really dead. I mean, all the things we did to him and all the things he had to go through, you know, if that were me, I would have really nailed us. But he didn't. Another might say, man, I can't wait to see the look on our dad's face when we tell him Joseph is alive. And not only that he's alive, but he wants us to live with him in the best of Egypt. Another goes, yeah, man, it's going to be something. I can't wait till my wife and kids see Egypt. That'll be amazing. You see how their conversation, if they're not focusing on the negative, all of a sudden they're focusing on what happened and they're processing all that what happened. That's why Joseph told them, don't quarrel along the way. You see, dwelling on the good news, it helps keep the main thing the main thing. In fact, effectively sharing the good news of Jesus, it takes focus. Because focus clarifies. It keeps us clear. We need this focus because the stuff of life has a way of blurring what's supposed to be urgent and important. You know, look to the person sitting next to you and go, ugh, stuff. Do that. Everybody's go, ooh, stuff. Okay. If you didn't do it, it's Chris's fault. But stuff. You know what stuff I'm talking about? I know with our family, man, just everything we're doing seems to be, everything's urgent right now. I mean, you know, with two girls in high school, we have Rachel getting ready to graduate, and we have some big decisions we're all making together and getting her all the things that seniors do and all that. And we have Becky, in addition to track, she's got SATs she just took and had to be studying for that. She's looking at colleges, and she has our final exams coming up and everything with all of that. And we're sitting there going, man, how can we keep anything straight? And it's easy to get distracted from our charge as a family. You know what our charge as a family is? Oh, to share the good news of Jesus. That even in the midst of real life and real situations, Jesus is our focus because Jesus saves. So what do we do about that when stuff starts getting in the way? You know what we do? We fight. You know, when Joseph told the brothers not to quarrel, it was probably a struggle for them not to quarrel, because that's what they did best. So we fight. We fight to keep the good news. We make sure that through anything, our focus remains on Jesus and his work. Well, how do we do that? Paul gives us an indication how we do that in Colossians. He says, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things of earth. You know what that means? It's not, don't pay attention to it, but he's saying, through everything, see it from God's perspective. And that's what we're to set our minds on. The things that will never fade and never change. Because when we keep the good news in focus, you know what happens? When it's fresh in us, then we're more eager to share it anytime we get a chance. In fact, that's what Joseph's brothers were ready for. Imagine this trip home. I'm sure it was probably the fastest trip home they ever made. I'm sure they set records getting home to share this good news. They couldn't wait, right? And they were eager to share it with their family, but especially their father. And it says they come to their father. And they said, Joseph's alive and he offers salvation. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to that kind of excitement? You know, sometimes for us, it's when we first come to Christ, when we first understand it, because it's freshest in our mind. That's supposed to be all the time with us. But do you remember that time? I can't wait to tell somebody else what Jesus did. I can't wait to go to school and to tell my friends that Jesus loves them. They don't have to sit there and try to find ways to get noticed because Jesus loves them. Or to meet with your neighbor over coffee. And you can't wait to share with them that hope and life is found in Jesus. Can you relate to that? Have you ever been there with that eagerness? And if you've ever shared like that and you've been so eager to share, then you can probably identify with the response that Jacob gave in all that eagerness. You know, sometimes we get excited and we're just like, can you? And we go and talk with somebody and they're like, look at how Joseph reacts or responds to their news. He says in verse 26, they told him, Joseph is alive and he's ruler of the land of Egypt. And it says, Jacob, his heart was numb. You know what a numb heart means? Unmoved. For he didn't believe him. So he's like, oh, come on. You guys are talking crazy. Stop. I don't want to hear this. Have you ever had that when you share Jesus with people? And they sit there and go, oh, fairy tales. That's just a crutch. Yeah, I don't need that. See, often those in need of the good news, they don't readily respond to this good news just on face value. Because those who need Jesus need more than just words about him. They need an example. So, as with the brothers, we need to effectively share the good news of Jesus in our world. One of the greatest tools we have is a story that relates. You see, the brothers tell Jacob, Joseph's alive, he's a ruler in Egypt, and Jacob was, eh? So then what did they proceed to do? They said, no, we're going to tell you what he told us, our story, our experience. You see, this story that we share, it's our story, our experience with the good news. So the brothers, they shared their experience with this good news. Yeah, we didn't believe it, but then we saw it with our own eyes. We experienced it ourselves. For us, what this means is we share how we found new life in Jesus, how Jesus changed not only our eternity, but our life right here and now. How I share how my life is different because Jesus is with us. You know, we have our Monday night class on reaching our world. This is what we're right in the middle of. We're writing our story of how Jesus changed us. And our story with Jesus, it helps others relate themselves to Jesus and relate themselves to us. They look at us and say, I'm just like you. So I go through the things you went through and you found this. Maybe I could too. Because our story with Jesus, it's our most powerful message. Did you hear that? Our story with Jesus is the most powerful message we can share with others. Because not only does it relate, but it's the easiest for us to share because it's our story. It's something that happened to us and with us. It's our life. And we see this in Scripture, the power of story. You know, one time Jesus, he was heading down from Galilee down towards Jerusalem, and he passes through the land of Samaria. And he stops at a well to get something to drink. And he meets a woman there. And this woman, she had a rough life, man. She had all these husbands and was living with the guy and all these things. And Jesus said, you know, draw me some water. And he goes, yeah, this isn't the water, though, I'm going to give. I'm going to give living water. And when you drink that, you'll thirst no more. Or I'm going to give you life. And at that moment, the woman says, I want this. And she believed in Jesus. And her life was transformed. And then you know what happens? She goes and she returns to the village near the well. And she didn't share some theological presentation of Jesus. She didn't say, you know, Old Testament prophecies about this man, the Messiah, in Isaiah, said this, and you relate this to this. And obviously, when you look at the Hebrew for that word, she didn't do all that. Do you know what she said? John 4 says it. He says, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? She shared her story. She said, this guy, he knows me. I mean, he saw deep within me. I think he's the Christ. I trusted him. And look what happens as a result of her story in verse 30. It says, and they went out of the town and were coming to him. That's the power of our story. Our story that relates others with Jesus, it's powerful and it's effective. However, all of this talk can be cheap unless others also see Jesus at work in us. In fact, the news of Joseph, that Joseph was alive, that most convinced Jacob, started when they told their story, but then it continued when they saw evidence of Joseph's work. Then he was convinced. Look back again at verse 27. It says, but when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, again, their story, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, or he saw what Joseph did in real life, the spirit of their father was revived. Could you imagine that? You know, it's like defibrillators with a heart. You know, your heart stops. And you ever see somebody get, they just don't go, oh yeah, that was cool. It goes, right? All of a sudden, he's like, whoa! I get it now. He saw evidence that what they said was true and it was real. You see, coupled with our story that relates others, we're also to present evidence that supports the good news of Jesus in us. This evidence, it helps others see that they too can receive this good news for themselves. You know, we're to have evidence of a changed life. And oftentimes, though, I think following Jesus, we kind of overlook this. We say, well, I got a great message, but we forget that we're also supposed to walk the walk when we're desiring to share the good news. Sometimes we feel we can just kind of talk the talk, convince others. The problem is, if our life doesn't show evidence of the good news, our words ring hollow. You know what? You want to know what probably one of the main reasons we don't have power when we share the good news of Jesus? It's because it's not being shown in us. People say, well, yeah, you talk a good game, but I don't see it in you. You talk about this. And we should be asking ourselves this question, these questions. These are great questions to ask yourself. There are questions that I kind of wrote down. I said, man, I gotta remember this. How's my life? Does my life show evidence of the good news of Jesus? Am I modeling forgiveness of others like Jesus forgave me? Am I living with joy because of Jesus? Or am I a sourpuss saying, yeah, Jesus can change your life, give you great joy, just like me? Or does our life, do we live it? Do people see it in us? Does our life evidence trusting Jesus to work in our lives, at work or at school or when we're with friends? Or is our life consumed with worry and doubt? See, these are great questions to ask ourselves. Does my life show the gospel? Does it show the good news? Because if I want to share it, I share it not only with my words, but also with how I live. You see, in sharing Jesus, our greatest defense or our greatest argument of its power and truth, it's not our ability to answer difficult theological or biblical questions. Sometimes we say, I can't share because somebody might ask me a question about the Bible I don't know. Yeah, happens to me all the time. I get it. But that's not our greatest defense or our greatest argument for the gospel. It's our life that shows evidence of Jesus at work in and through us. So that when we share, they already see it. You know, our world, good news seems hard to find, doesn't it? We can see gender reveal fails, but good news is hard to find. You turn on the news at night, they don't say something good probably till 27 minutes into a 30-minute show, right? If at all. And it seems hard to find, but in Jesus, we have the best news that anyone can ever hear and respond to. In fact, God has each of us right where we are at this time and place to share the good news that Jesus, in Jesus, is life eternal. God has you placed in the family you're in, at the house you're in, with the neighbors that you have, at the school you're in, the work you're at. All of that, God has you right there, so that you can live out and share the good news of Jesus with the people he's brought into your circle. We don't have to go to Africa or China to share the good news. God places us right here and now, right before us, to share the good news. And we best share this good news by the way we communicate our story and our changed lives, so that those in need of Jesus, those around us, can come to him. You know, the good news, it's news worth sharing. And we see that here in Genesis 45. Let's pray.